The next case to be heard is number 2015-322, Dialysis Centers of Dayton versus Tax Commissioner. For the appellant, Mr. Kordick.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, James G. Kordick for Dialysis Centers of Dayton, LLC. I'll mostly try to refer to them as DCD so I don't end up mangling their name, and we'll be referring to some similar name cases too, probably throughout this argument. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal if possible.
Watch your time.
Our objective in our oral argument today is to emphasize 2 points. First, that the indigency policy maintained by DCD is definitive. The indigency policy adopted by DCD occurred when it was taken over 100% ownership by Miami Valley Hospital in August of 2006. And at that time, the hospital amended the operating agreement for this company to operate in the same way under the same policies that the hospital does. In that, it adopted the following policy: to provide services to indigent patients regardless of their ability to pay. So, importantly, we believe, just like in the Levin case stated, that you have to have an indigency policy like this in order to be tax exempt for real estate tax purposes under 570912B. The second point we'd like to emphasize in our oral argument today is that we contend that the court should look not just at dollar numbers of charity care provided by an organization. After all, we don't think the Levin case stands for the proposition that you have to provide dollar amounts of charity care in order to prove that you provide charity care. By the ruling that in Levin that no level of threshold care, no amount or threshold amount of charity care is required. In that regard, perhaps the single most important piece of evidence we presented at the BTA hearing, which seems to have flown under the radar screen at the BTA, was Mr. Shelton's testimony. Mr. Shelton is the vice president of Miami Valley Hospital. He was a former president of Dialysis Centers of Dayton, DCD. And so he knows very well the financial operations of both the hospital and of DCD. He testified that DCD absorbs 80% of all uncompensated care in the Miami Valley. Miami Valley is the Dayton, Ohio area. And Miami Valley Hospital is the main hospital, is downtown, has other offices. So the BTA seems to have ignored that evidence, and so they weren't really looking at the quality of charity care provided by DCD. It appears they're just looking at trying to look for numbers or dollar amounts of charity care provided.
Let me ask you, in these appeals, the court always confronts the question of whether or not the court should defer to findings of fact by the BTA.
Sure.
Now, your argument is that that there's a legal error in the BTA's decision, and what is that error?
The error is this: they were erroneous because they failed to first see that there was evidence of charity care provided by DCD. It's in the statutory transcripts as part of their original application that DCD provided $435,000 of charity care involving 150 patients. 28% of those patients were given charity care. Now, I think the confusion is, on the part of the BTA where they erred, is that they seem to think that charity care is only the type of care that when the patient shows up at the door and they say, we've got no insurance and no money, go ahead and treat us. By the way, as Mr. Shelton testified, That's perfectly fine. They would treat that patient, even though they had no money, no insurance coverage of any kind. I think the error is they're looking for this pure type of charity care. In reality, charity care should include the fact that the patient has insufficient insurance, such as through Medicaid. Medicaid only covers about a third of the cost of a dialysis treatment. And so the important point to know here is that that's known by DCD, by the organization. When that person comes in the door, if they're on Medicaid or Medicare or even private health insurance, it doesn't cover all the cost of the treatment. And so it's a known fact that the organization is going to treat that patient anyway. They can't refuse them. And that's where the importance of having the indigency policy comes into play, especially at the, let's say, the charter level or in the operating agreement for DCD. They don't have a choice. They have to accept them. And I think that's the true test of whether charity care is being provided. They can't refuse the patient to treat the patient. So we think the error was not looking at the quality of the charity care evidence, but just looking for numbers of charity care dollars on a given year. And hopefully I'll be able to get into why that's not a good idea. In that regard, too, in Bethesda Healthcare versus Wilkins, this court said you got to look at all the circumstances. Okay, so we contend that means under Levin, not just looking at dollar amounts of charity care. And that's implied when the court says that no certain threshold level is required. But Levin did analyze three principles that are important. The first is for an entity that charges for its care, that the provision of charity care is essential, but no threshold level is required. We know that. The second principle was that if an entity is basing its exemption on donations to other charities, that they can't establish their exemption under 570912B by making donations to other charities. That would be a vicarious exemption. We agree with that. We're not arguing that here. The third is whether the entity has a charity care policy. Well, DC does. DCD does have a charity care policy. That's been established. It's in their operating agreement. It was testified to by Mr. Shelton, and it was unrefuted. In our case, Mr. Shelton testified that they do adhere to the policy. He repeatedly testified, and this was uncontroverted, that they accept every patient regardless of ability to pay. Also before this court is the Rural Health Cooperative case. It hasn't been decided yet, I don't believe. In that case, the tax commissioner argued that the charity care policy or the indigency policy is definitive. Yet in our case, when we have a definitive charity care policy, they're also looking for charity care numbers. Okay. While we contend that was supplied, we also think that if you look at the quality and the type of care that DCD does provide, that's enough proof of charity care that meets the Levin standard. Besides, looking for numbers of charity care is a slippery slope. I hate to make that reference, but I can't resist. It's slippery because if the court's going to be looking for, or the tax commissioner on future applications, or the BTA in future cases, for charity care numbers, those numbers change every year. Okay, and it's not within the control of the organization if how many patients who are indigent or can't pay their copayments or deductible shows up at their door every year. It's going to change. So it's conceivable in 1 year the organization could provide a lot of charity care. A lot of people can't pay or don't pay. They would make their application for the exemption. It should be granted. Well, unless they've got a definitive indigency policy, they don't have to. They can reject those patients the next year if they want to. And it's not practical for the tax commission to come back and, you know, rule every year on whether they're entitled to their exemption. It doesn't work like that. It'll probably never be visited again. So it'd be determined on an ad hoc basis. So for the purposes of guidance to the BTA and to the tax commissioner, basing or defining whether charity care is provided on whether certain dollar amounts are provided on a year-to-year basis would be, it's too ad hoc. It would be a hard-to-follow rule, and we're going to have inconsistent decisions. A lot of this depends on how you look at charity care, too. Just like in the Rural Health Cooperative case, we're arguing that charity care would include the fact that people don't have sufficient insurance to cover all of the cost, like Medicaid and Medicare, even private insurance. So that's known at the intake level. Since it's known, that DCD still takes that patient, even though they're not going to get paid in full. Sure, they may try to get paid. They may try to collect from the patient and bill their insurance. In a medical service provider context, there's no other way to operate. With the high cost of doctors and nurses, equipment and everything, billing insurance is a necessary evil. And yet it is still known, and it's possibly could be judicially noticed, that Medicaid does not pay the full cost of care. Neither does Medicare. That element should constitute charity care, and it's, you know, clear from the record that that's being provided by DCD. Besides, in today's world of, you know, the Affordable Care Act requires everybody to have insurance. And if you don't, you have to pay a penalty. So it'd be rare for somebody to show up the door and have no insurance at all. But almost always, the insurance coverage is insufficient. So there's always that gap between, you know, the cost of the service versus how much the reimbursement is. And we contend that that should also be considered as charity care. Our argument, in addition, that bolsters their exemption under 570912B is that the charity care policy is got to be institutionalized. And by that we mean that the policy is part of the organizing document for the organization. It's fundamental, in other words. It's not a policy that can be changed by the billing clerk or the intake person or whatever. It is an absolute requirement for DCD to treat all patients regardless of ability to pay, or else they'd be violating their operating agreement. And again, I'd like to emphasize that there was uncontroverted testimony at the BTA hearing that Mr. Shelton made that DCD and Miami Valley Hospital treat 80% of the uncompensated care in the Dayton area. So that is proof of the charity care that is being provided on top of others. But they're not numbers. They weren't dollar numbers. We understand that.
Now, the evidence here, does it show that there are intake, not intake procedures, but that the patients have to be evaluated as to whether there's any financial need?
Yes.
Before amounts can be written off?
I mean, yes.
What does the evidence show? Regarding
well, the evidence shows that that patients do apply for coverage, and in fact, DCD, like every hospital would, tries to get coverage for people if it's available by law. So if an indigent walks in the door, and again, important to point out, they'll get treated no matter what. But down the road, the personnel at DCD, for example, will try to get that person covered on Medicaid, okay, so that they can get some reimbursement. You know, if any kind of medical health care provider is going to not even try to get paid the available insurance, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Anthem, United Healthcare, whatever, they're not going to be in business for very long, okay? They're going to be closing the doors immediately. Now, under Ohio, also under HCAP, they'll reimburse the hospital for uncompensated care. And the hospital can, and DCD can, try to apply for HCAP money from the state to cover people who are indigent or unable to pay. But that's about a third of the cost, okay? And so with that in mind, our contention is that they do provide charity care. It's just looked at differently, maybe, or should be looked at differently. Numbers aren't required, and we urge that this court reverse the BTA decision and grant the exemption for DCD under 570912B. The BTA erroneously failed to find that 80% of the uncompensated care treated in the Dayton area, in the Miami Valley area, by DCD should have constituted evidence of charity care, and that the BTA unlawfully failed to find that DCD was a charitable institution under 570912B. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kordick. Mr. Fauci appears to be standing, so we'll hear argument from him.
Master Commissioner, Mayor, may it please the court. My understanding today is that I'll be using all of the oral argument time. On behalf of the tax commissioner, I wanted to start with three corrections to what you just heard. And this isn't de minimis corrections. These are important misstatements. First, my friend on the other side testified that Dialysis Clinic of Dayton absorbed 80% of the uncompensated care in the area. There is zero testimony to that effect in this record. The testimony to the, in the record establishes that the Miami Valley Hospital System absorbs 80% of the care in the area. That's at page 81 of the hearing transcript in this matter. There wasn't any testimony that dialysis clinic absorbs 80% of the uncompensated care in the area. This was just the Miami Valley Hospital System, which includes hospitals, includes emergency rooms. Second, and related to my first point, there was testimony about how dialysis clinic of Dayton might try to get a patient coverage on the back end by my friend on the other side of the table today. That doesn't appear anywhere in the record in this case. In fact, I tried at hearing to get this kind of testimony from the chief financial officer of the company. He said, I don't know how that works. I can't give you that testimony. I don't know how that works. So that's not in the record either. Second important correction we need to make is there is no charitable care policy in this case. There isn't one. So there's an operating agreement which went into effect when Miami Valley Hospital took ownership of this corporation. Naturally, as a 501c3, their new operating agreement says, we're taking over DCD. It's got to be provide care to patients without regard to ability to pay. But a charity care policy is a customer-facing document. This is the IRS's instructions on this. Go look at the 990 Schedule H instructions, and it says, it refers you to the idea that a charity care policy has to be customer-facing. In order to be a charity care policy, customers have to know that free or reduced cost care is available. They have to know how they can apply for it. Again, I tried at hearing to get this testimony out of the chief financial officer. I said, what do your forms say? What is your intake process? How do customers, there was no testimony. He said, I don't know. There was no testimony that they have signs up. There was no testimony that they do any intake. And in fact, his testimony was, we don't track charity care. At Dialysis Clinic of Dayton, we don't track charity care. So third correction I need to make is that my friend on the other side said that the BTA is looking for a dollar amount. That's not true either. The BTA was looking for some evidence that charitable use of this property actually happened. And they were unable to find any in the record of this case. So this isn't something that's been manufactured. This isn't something, a new idea for this case. The idea that a property has to be used for charitable purposes has existed since the charitable exemption came about. And what we have in this case is an unsubstantiated letter that provides an undifferentiated amount of $400,000+, which it categorizes as charitable care.
Well, what is the evidence in this case with respect to the issue of discriminating on the basis to pay? There is, an at least pro forma or whatever, there is an indigency policy, right, that says people are not going to be turned away.
Your Honor, I again... This isn't a policy as understood in the healthcare. This is a policy for purposes of tax exemption through the IRS. This is to say, in order for our newly acquired for-profit company to qualify to be rolled up into our 990s and treated as a nonprofit, we have to have magic language in our operating agreement that says we take all comers. That's part of a hospital. It is not a customer-facing policy. It's not a policy that tells my front-end people on intake to advise people that that charity care is available. It's not a policy that tells my back-end people on exit when I'm looking for billing that charity care may be available to you. And it's not a policy that says hang a sign in the reception area that says ask about free care. It's not a policy that says here's our financial liability form. Please fill it out. On the back of it, you'll note that you may qualify for charity care. We don't have any record of that.
In the dialysis clinic case that this court decided, there was actually, whether you call it a policy or what, there was actually a reservation of right to refuse treatment.
Correct.
And that was viewed as being important by the BTA. So it was important in that case. But isn't this similar, and why shouldn't it be important in this case?
Well, again, I think it is important in this case, and the evidence is that there was no customer-facing policy in this case. So for all we know, You know, nobody ever knew or was advised of the ability to obtain free care. That's what's in the record of this case. They said, we have an operating agreement that tells us to take all comers, but no. So what is a charity care policy? What would that look like? Well, you have HR policy documents that explain to front-end people, when someone comes in, this is how you treat them. You have financial assistance forms. You have, and which are, again, front-end people are instructed how to fill out that form. You have signage. You have instructions, internal instructions on a sign of this size must be placed on the desk. A sign of this size must be posted on the wall. A sign of this side must be in the treatment room. Again, you'll have a back-end policy that says when you go for collections, advise people that they may be eligible for this care. Again, I tried to ask the CFO these questions. He knew none of it. He said, I don't know those details. I can't tell you those details. I don't know. So what he said was, yes, we have this policy, and for all we know, this is an operating agreement that sat in somebody's desk drawer or a file cabinet, you know, and in fact wasn't produced to the tax commissioner. They apparently didn't even know the existence of this until the day of hearing. That's the first time I saw it. That said, let's talk a little bit about the proof of charity care here. And again, the idea that Dialysis Clinic of Dayton is trying to put forth to this court is that DCI said, you don't have to show anything. You just have to have a policy. You know, it's whether or not you perform care on the premises is irrelevant. Just show us your policy and you're good to go. And of course, that's not what Dialysis Center, DCI says. The holding of DCI actually turned on the fact that there was no evidence of charitable care in that case. Now, it was important, as Your Honor noted, that there was no charitable policy, but they also noted in that case there was no evidence that the property was used, and this was a holding of the court, I believe it's at paragraph 21, that the critical inquiry on charitable exemption for real property is what's the use of the property? And when, as here, you're not demonstrating that any free or uncompensated care is being provided, that's not a charitable use. Dialysis care in itself is not a charitable activity. In fact, these clinics were performing for profit the year before exemption was sought. This is, and so what we have evidence of is they get paid through private insurance, they get paid through Medicaid, they get paid through Medicare, and they may even be able to get some of their uncompensated care back through HCAP. What we don't have any evidence of is provision of care to those without regard to the ability to pay. So again, those are the three corrections I need to make on the record. A couple other things to note. We at the BTA argued that DCI didn't qualify as a charitable organization. We argued that they didn't have a charitable care policy. We also argued that that under the they're seeking remission for 2006, for which they're ineligible because they were not, DCI was not the owner on the tax lien date in 2006, or the current applicant was not the owner on the tax lien date of 2006, and in fact, they weren't owned by the hospital on the tax lien date, so they were avowedly a for-profit corporation on the tax lien date in 2006. And finally, we explained that the exemption under Revised Code 5709121 is just not available for Dialysis Center Dayton because that exemption is available for someone other than the owner's use of the property. And in this case, this is the owner's use of the property. So we're really stuck with 5709.12. There isn't a 121 exemption at play at this case. So again, we'd ask this court to look at the actual evidence of charitable use in this case, and like the BTA did and like the tax commissioner did, find that there wasn't any. What we had, and the only evidence that we had, was one letter from somebody who didn't testify at hearing. The witness who did come at hearing said, I don't know how she prepared that letter. I didn't prepare it. I don't know what went into preparing it. And as I reviewed the points in that letter, as I went through the so-called $435,000 points in that letter with the CFO, he testified that, well, we don't know if that includes bad debt. So bad debt is a situation that every business faces, which is that somebody owes me money, and they can pay it, they're not paying it. Okay, that's not charity care. The IRS tells you that. Bad debt is not charity care. He told me he didn't know if that includes bad debt. It also includes, according to him, patient write-offs. In other words, money for which the patient's paid. So I don't know how the hospital can list as charity care money that patients paid. And when I got into the number, I said, well, let's, you know, let's take it apart a little bit. He couldn't tell me how that split up. He couldn't tell me, you know, what portion of it went into what bucket. And he couldn't tell me, there's four properties at issue here. He couldn't tell me how much of it was done at any given location. So that evidence in itself just won't bear the weight that they're trying to put on it. For those reasons, we ask that this court affirm the determination of the Board of Tax Appeals and the final determination of the tax commissioner. If you've got no further questions, I'll take a seat.
Thank you, Mr. Fossey.
Thank you.
Mr. Kordick, you've reserved a minute and 17 seconds.
A minute and 17. I'll need all every second
every
of that,
second
I think.
Every second of it. Well, okay. You're down to 16 seconds.
Okay.
No, keep going.
Very good. The 80% evidence on treating 80% of the uncompensated care in the Miami Valley was testified to by Mr. Shelton with respect to Miami Valley Hospital. That's true. However, he also testified that it would be, he would believe it's the same percentage for DCD. Just like he testified that all four locations where these dialysis centers are located would be operated about the same, at the same level in terms of charity care, in terms of level of reimbursements and so forth. As far as not, there not being a policy, I don't read anywhere in Levin that requires signs being on the door that you can get free care here. That is not required by the Levin case by from this court. All that's required is that you maintain an indigency policy and don't refuse patients because they can't pay. I don't know what could be better than having a policy stated in an operating agreement, which is a legally binding document that the organization has to follow. Besides, in the transcripts, Mr. Shelton testified repeatedly, and if that's not evidence, I don't know what would be, that they would not turn patients away if they are unable to pay. They treat everyone. He repeated it on four or five different occasions throughout the testimony. So there's plenty of evidence of charity care here, and we ask that the this court reversed the Board of Tax Appeals decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kordick. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Alton Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.